Hey guys, welcome to The Whole Veterinarian. My name is Dr. Stacy Cordovano, and you know we've got some stuff going on in this profession of ours. On this podcast, I will speak with outside-of-the-box thinkers to hear new ideas on ways to improve our day-to-day life. I want veterinarians to learn to be happier, healthier, wealthier, and more grateful for the life that we've created. Now let's get started. Today's guest is Katie Madden. Katie is a registered nurse and an international board-certified lactation consultant who has been helping women adjust to navigating motherhood for the past 15 years. While creating and growing the lactation department at a local birth center, Katie started her online presence with a blog in 2013. She opened her own private practice in 2020 and also provides a comprehensive online learning community that is accessible to anyone in the world. Personally, Katie has helped me through the humbling entry into motherhood, and I know how important her work is. I'm also lucky to call her my friend. Welcome, Katie. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Stacy.
All right. We're just going to get into it because I know you can handle it. You have a quote about doing the best you can do, and I was hoping that you could explain a little bit about it because I feel like it's applicable to not just new mothers, but new vets or anybody who's feeling kind of inadequate in their life.
So I like to use this quote when we are reflecting back on past choices that we have made and potentially questioning past decisions that we've made in our lives. And the quote goes, "Did you do the best you could given the circumstances and the information you had at that time?" Oftentimes, we judge our past decisions based upon our current circumstances and the current information we have. And the truth is that we do the best we can making these hard choices in life, and we often do them without full access to that information we have in the future. So this is really helpful for moms who are navigating the postpartum period, making a lot of quick and hard decisions, and then come out of that period, right? They come out of that maybe at 6 weeks or 12 weeks postpartum, and they start doing that process of reflecting back, questioning things they've done, and perhaps being really critical of themselves for decisions they've made.
Certainly, I think as veterinarians, we're pretty used to just working hard and being able to figure something out and make a plan and act on it. And for me, and I know other people, motherhood is an instance where you cannot do that. Sometimes things just don't go the way you want them to go, or they're harder than you expect. Mm-hmm. Certainly one of the things that you have taught me is to give myself grace. And I know there was a recent newsletter about compassion and giving yourself grace.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just to go back to what you said about, you know, veterinarians, you know, I work with a lot of professional women now, this generation of mothers. They built their careers and they, in a lot of ways, are thriving in their careers before they add children. And this is a relatively newer concept, right? Our mothers didn't necessarily build a career and then get pregnant, you know, so there's this cognitive intelligence part of it that you have. It's when you're put in a position in postpartum where you are vulnerable, right? Where you have this emotional component that clouds a lot of your critical thinking skills or the part of your brain that uses knowledge to solve problems. And now you're using your felt sense, your experience of love and your experience of fear, your connection that you're creating with this child, which is straight up terrifying. And then you have all these other influences that are part of your decision-making process. So when we look back on how we've behaved, choices we've made in a period of time that was essentially crisis, that's what new motherhood is crisis.
Yeah.
Even if it's beautiful and good and wonderful and it's going all the way you want it, anytime you're making this giant transition into something new, it's crisis. So in reflection, we have to be able to look back and give ourselves the loving compassion that says, perhaps I would have made different decisions knowing what I know now, but I still give myself so much love and so much grace to say that I made that choice and I still am where I am today with the sense of holding both, holding that maybe I would have done something different. And yet look at where I came to in this moment. So it's almost as if you are holding the bad and the good at the same time to say, maybe I would have done that differently. Maybe I'm disappointed with myself. Maybe things weren't what I expected them to be. And yet look at all the beauty that came out of this. Look at how I grew. Look at this child. Look at this breastfeeding relationship that either I navigated through and let go of, or I navigated through and continued to carry with me past this early postpartum period. And how can we love ourselves with that paradox to hold the difference between the two and still love ourselves without saying it was good or bad or right or wrong?
I would say when I started working with you, I had never done any introspective work. I don't know if that's just all the years of science, brain, and studying. Is that pretty common for women in the postpartum period to have no idea how to look inside and recognize how to hold those two spaces together?
Oh, yeah. And also consider the fact that leading up to having a baby, you were graded and tested. We are the generation of seeking an award.
Yeah.
When you come from science, everything is measurable. And then when you enter motherhood, there are no grades. And we seek them, right? We seek grades in the sense of like, how is your baby growing? Or how much milk do you make? Or, you know, all these stats. And so you find yourself just afloat in this sea of ambiguity. And so all that there is your own self-confidence, your own knowing, your own, you know, belief in yourself to be worthy of mothering this child. We crack it open. It's one of the first times in a lot of women's lives that they are asked to take a hard look at themselves. Even the women who are doing really well, the babies are growing, breastfeeding's going well, they're still so self-critical. And it's such a great opportunity to be like, what's going on here? Why are you suffering so much? And it's often not about the circumstances. It's much more about disappointment in yourself.
Yeah, you think you're not doing it right or well enough.
Not doing it right, not doing it well. And then we bring in the whole element of comparison.
Yeah.
That's how we were built. Motherhood calls us to sit in community with other women and say, we're all doing well. Because the test is not about who's the best mother. The test is about, do you feel like you're a good mom to your child? I often tell mothers, you've already won the mothering game. Like nobody is vying for your position as the mother of your child. This isn't a competition. But the scariest thing about this not being a competition between mothers is that it becomes a competition with yourself. And therein lies where we start to cause problems for ourselves because we compete with ourselves hard.
Oh, for sure. I am definitely harder on myself than anyone else. So you probably see women at one of the most vulnerable times in their adult life when they're new mothers or about to be new mothers. What do you think that women need from other people in their life at this point?
That's a good question. I think we need to ask a question before we can ask that question. So one of the things that I used to say a lot was ask for what you need. New motherhood, the postpartum period is very, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need sleep, you need food, you need connection so you're not lonely, you need to hydrate, you need safety. But what I've realized over the most recent years is most women don't know how to ask for what they need because they don't know what they need. So the question that comes before what do you need from other people is what do you need? Ask yourself, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
So in pregnancy, when women ask for what they need, they make an Amazon list of the highest rated products. First-time moms need stuff, in their opinion. They ask other people for stuff. It's not what they need, but they're not even asking themselves what they need.
Right.
So then this baby is born, and we focus a lot on the birth, right? So if we're doing any forward planning, it's on the birth. And what I have found pretty notoriously is that there's almost zero thought put into the postpartum period. And when we talk about the postpartum period, I'll give you this lame-ass 6 weeks, which is what Americans think is an appropriate postpartum period. When really, I mean, a 6 week postpartum woman going back to work, I don't even know that she has all of her faculties about her. 12 weeks is a blessing and still nowhere near what families need.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about the postpartum period of, we'll say 6 weeks, I think one of the reasons why women don't plan for it is because it's a complete like black cloud. They can't see it. They have no idea what's coming.
Yeah. You have no idea. Like, you can't possibly.
You can't. And you know, I hear all the time, like, I should have prepared more. I should have. You cannot prepare your heart for the way it feels to love your first child and also simultaneously be terrified that something is going to happen to this child. And even more terrified that something is going to happen to this child at your own hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do women need from others? They need community of women. And so this is where you can, you know, I kind of love the connection between veterinary medicine and lactation. My mom used to tell me when I was growing up, how do you know if an animal is a mammal? It has a belly button and it nurses its young. But we all do this as mammals, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with mammals in captivity. If you have a gorilla and she gives birth, how does she learn how to breastfeed her baby? Does she just do it all by herself?
No, there's a huge community that they're living in.
Right. Or they'll even bring in other lactating gorilla moms to show her how to nurse. Breastfeeding is a learned experience. It is natural in the sense that mammals lactate, and it is natural in the sense that mammal babies thrive best on mother's milk, but it is not an instinctual act to nurse your baby. Women learn from watching, and we don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when a woman really asks herself, what do I need in this postpartum period? She needs to feel seen and heard, understood, validated. And you just can't get that from a partner who's potentially a dude, maybe a woman. Either way, they've never had a baby and has no idea. We just can't expect it of male counterparts. And we can't even expect it of our mothers because many of our mothers did not nurse. What my organization does, the heart of what my work is gathering women either virtually or in real life to watch one another.
Right.
To have women go, oh yeah, me too.
I mean, I know in the group that I attended, question will be asked that you didn't even know you had, but then you hear it and you're like, oh gosh, that is very relatable. That's me. I needed to know that.
I often say when you come to group, someone will say aloud what you were thinking. And in that speaking of truth, you feel validated and a little bit less crazy.
Mm-hmm. There was recently a really beautiful article written by the Delaware Today magazine, and you were quoted as saying, these women are being brought to their knees by breastfeeding. I wanted to hear a little bit more about who those women are and what you meant by that.
A lot of women who are seeking care from me already have a history of pain, a history of loss, either a difficulty getting pregnant in the first place, needing to use fertility treatments, losses, miscarriages, perhaps they had a birth that didn't go the way they hoped it would go. They maintain this strength through all of that, right? It's this, you know, I'm going to keep fighting for this. I'm going to keep doing things. I'm going to keep going to appointments and trying again. But there's this deep-seated hurting that's already sitting there. And oftentimes they make the choice to breastfeed, and so much is riding on breastfeeding. I couldn't get pregnant on my own. I couldn't birth on my own. Nothing is going the way I wanted it to go. And now breastfeeding is not going the way it's quote unquote supposed to be going. And they fall apart. So much is riding on breastfeeding because for the first time, they can actually actively do something for this child, right? There's a powerlessness that comes along with struggling with infertility. There's a powerlessness that comes with miscarriage. Certainly, however much we plan for our births, we do not have any control. So it's all the aftermath, not just of breastfeeding, but of the birth, of the pregnancy, of loss of past children that comes to a head when a woman is struggling to feed her baby. And so when I say it brings her to her knees, it's the breaking point of months, years of heartache. And what it comes down to really at the end of the day is my body isn't working and my baby doesn't want me. So those are two really, really painful statements that a lot of women come to. But it is at that point that we can begin to actually do the work of realizing that motherhood is not about doing things perfectly. And it's not about doing things quote unquote right. It's about figuring out who this child is and how you can best nurture this child And the way that we form deep, lasting bonds with our children is perhaps to be down on our knees with that baby saying, it doesn't matter how I feed you or what my body can do or if this went the way that it was supposed to go. It's you and me, babe, and we're in this forever. I feel so lucky that I get to bear witness to that great humbling of women falling to their knees when everything feels like it's falling apart, because it's from that place that I get to witness the most miraculous growth and evolution and the tightening of bonds between mothers and children. It is the greatest honor of my life to watch these children's mothers rise and thrive. And I knew them when they were down on their knees.
Whew, I feel like that deserves a moment. That was beautiful. I definitely know what it's like to have you help in a time of crisis. Mine wasn't immediately postpartum, but when I was forced to wean my second son early for medication reasons, the help that you were able to provide in saying that you will, Stacy, find a different way to connect with him was really life-changing at that point in time.
You know, most people think of lactation consultants as people that help get breastfeeding going. And most lactation consultants care a whole hell of a lot about the act of breastfeeding and that mothers breastfeed and that babies are breastfed. My personal philosophy is that if you choose breastfeeding, if you choose this path of mothering your child and feeding your child in this way, then I'm there with you from that choice to when your breasts stop lactating. That might be in 2 weeks or it might be in 2 years. The arc of breastfeeding and the journey of breastfeeding deserves care from someone like me from the first choice until the last drop of milk, in my opinion. It's interesting with you because with your second, you endured the hardest part at the end. This is often true if we get through the early phases of my body's not working, my baby's not doing this, this isn't happening normally. Women that do get up over that hump get to enjoy a long, challenging, and deeply nourishing and fulfilling relationship through breastfeeding, some women. And to let go of that is also to step into the next phase of motherhood in which your baby no longer needs your body. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit with that for a moment because that is a transition that deserves so much attention and love and reflection and awake and awareness. The weaning process is so important. Mm-hmm. So I have a 13-year-old daughter who's getting ready to be 14. Her name's Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
And what I have observed in my own mothering is that this transitionary period where you have to let go of what was and make space for what's next happens again and again and again. And motherhood is a slow and long progression of letting go and letting your child move further and further away from you. And a mother who learns this process of letting go of what was and making space for what's next, she is able to thrive through each stage of motherhood. It's hard every single time, but I believe that the first lesson we get to learn in letting go and making space for what's next is in weaning. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear me very often make metaphors between a breastfeeding experience and mothering later in life. And I've learned that the lessons that I'm able to teach women through the breastfeeding process are truly just foundational parenting lessons that they can use for the rest of their lives.
The introspection that you've asked of me, the compassion that you've asked me to give myself, it started with a baby and I've continued on.
And I'll tell you again, with my almost 14-year-old daughter, she's turning out quite well so far, so good. I believe so much of that has come from modeling, meaning I didn't tell her to take long, luxurious showers. I showed her that I take long, luxurious showers. That's the time that I tend to myself, that I love and have gratitude for my body, that I slow down and breathe, right? That's how we mother, is by modeling. So every time I say, you make space for what's next, what I also mean is, you need to continue to grow and get a life and take care of yourself because your children are watching. Part of the scary thing about weaning is, what will I do with all of this space and time, these thoughts, these feelings that I can't now just nurse a baby through?
Yeah.
So in order for our children to thrive, we as mothers must thrive.
that's a good transition to a question that I had for you, because obviously veterinarians are hugely susceptible to compassion fatigue and burnout. But I would say that in your job, you're also, if not more, highly susceptible to that. How do you take care of yourself?
A big mantra that I use that I find really helpful is, I am responsible to these mothers. I am not responsible for these mothers. Mm-hmm. Take that a step further. As your child gets older, I'm responsible to my child. I'm not responsible for my child. I am only responsible for myself. Mm-hmm. When you show up and you are of service with a client, in that moment, you can be fully present. Your heart can be open. You can be fully attentive, showing up as the one who will deliver them from pain, struggle. But when I walk away from that relationship, I have to have some sort of way to close it and say, I did the best I could and I delivered on my promise to be responsible to you. What happens now, I am not responsible for. And so this really speaks to not just being present with women and, you know, having emotional boundaries, but also what we can transition into the role of being a working pumping mom and how much trickier it is when you take on this role of mother, because not only are you a vet and an individual and a wife and a daughter and all of that, now you're also a mother. If you already have a blurry boundary around who I am as a human and who I am as my job, then if you bring motherhood into that and you think that you're going to be all the things to everybody all the time, this is just going to get worse. Mm-hmm. If you take an animal home in your mind, if you take a mother home in your mind, now you're dragging mud all through the front door into your role as a mother, and you can't be fully present as a mother. And then we start playing this game of like, I'm not present anywhere. I'm not doing enough for anyone.
Oh, yeah.
It all comes back, right? We all know that, right? The I can't do anything well.
I think I said it last week.
Right. I'm failing everybody. I'm not doing a good job in any of my jobs. And really what it comes back to is, what is your center? What is your core? Who are you when you, you know, for you in particular, traveling around house to house? Like, what is the intentional practice when you leave a client, you leave a horse and you get back into your car? Are you immediately thinking like, what's next? Or are you taking a moment to let go of what just happened and make space for what's next? And by making space, I literally mean like leaving the problems there and saying, I've done that for now. And then opening up and going, okay, I feel clear. I feel confident. I feel myself. Now I can step into another role.
It's so hard. Ugh. As an equine vet with on-call and running potentially your own practice, I mean, that is a tall order, but definitely something to work on. You know, every vet needs better boundaries. We get asked by random high school friends on Facebook Messenger for advice. Yeah. You know, boundaries are hard and certainly, I think, a huge part of improving mental health.
The process of creating boundaries is a lifelong journey, and it's okay if you're just starting with like physical boundaries of, I'm at this client's farm right now. I'm in my car right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can literally start with the physical containers. And so when we talk about pumping, you know, I of course work a lot with the transition. You know, about 80% of women are in the workforce as mothers, which is a staggering number. Basically, almost everybody is turning around and working 8 weeks after they have a baby. Mm-hmm. It's mind-blowing, really. And then we just pile role on top of role. When you're a working pumping mom, you really are blurring lines because you are doing an act of motherhood while you are inside of the role of professional. It's interesting because a lot of times we use pumping time to continue to work. And that's really not what our brains were designed for, right? When we let down, when your milk flows, again, let's take this back to animals. A cow is not going to let you milk it, I assume. I never milked a cow. If she's stressed, if she's in this sympathetic nervous system of getting ready to run away from you,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's fight or flight. You're not going to rest, digest, and express if you are thinking about hurrying up and driving to this next place. So it's this very strange process of, we're able to express milk while also thinking about something completely different and not getting the oxytocin release that you get when you're with your baby. So a lot of times that doesn't help the situation when we're trying to have this delineation of roles. In fact, pumping and working is so much harder than even just being a working mother, because repeatedly you have to stop what you're doing, hook yourself up to a machine, and then trick your brain into thinking that the baby is there enough to remove your milk. And women do it all the time, and it's freaking miraculous. And yet they still are so hard on themselves, and they still feel like failures if they don't make it to some, you know, random designated time frame, 6 months, 12 months, whatever, you know, society has implanted in their brains, and can't even take this moment to be like, holy cow, how are you even doing this? The saddest thing I could ever imagine would be that a woman doesn't take the time to sit and reflect on how phenomenal she is for having risen to the occasion of not only being a professional, a career woman in this world, but also maintaining her milk supply for her baby. And that's where, again, that big growth can come in, is to look back and be like, well, damn, if I did that, I can do anything.
Yes, certainly a superpower.
A superpower only if you can see it as a superpower, because so many women look back and go like, well, but I only nursed for 5 months. Well, I only made it to 10 months, but I had to supplement with formula, but my baby never latched on. And that there again, let's come back to this holding both things. If it wasn't perfect, it was crap. That's a very binary thinking. It's black or white. It's good or bad. It's right or wrong. And grace is to hold both those things.
Okay. Yes, for sure. I mean, we're trained either you diagnosed something or you didn't. The patient lived or didn't. So yes, binary thinking, I think, is probably ingrained in us. So yes, more practice on giving yourself grace. I wanted to transition a little bit to ask you about what is currently offered at Balanced Breastfeeding. Personally, for me, I think that the Working Pumping Moms online course should really be a requirement for anyone that is going to attempt to go back to work and pump. Can you elaborate a little bit on what's online currently?
Yeah, so the Balanced Breastfeeding Club is an online membership, one-time, lifetime membership that gives you access to all of the curriculum and all of the support community. So the curriculum is the didactic learning that goes along with breastfeeding. There's a lot to learn, and it's broken up in phases, so it's not overwhelming. Working Pumping Moms is ideally done about 4 to 6 weeks before returning to work. It gives not only the technical components of how to do this, but also the emotional components of why are we doing this? Why are you doing it this way? And why is this so hard? We start out with why do you work and why are you leaving your baby? Because almost everybody is very sometimes surprised by their sudden urge to not go back to work when their job was their whole life, right? Your job oftentimes, especially if you have a private practice or a small business, is that was your baby. And so it's almost surprising when you're preparing to go back to work and you're like, I would throw my whole career away because it hurts so much to think about leaving this baby. So we talk about that. And then we go into the curriculum component. In my practice, I found that the curriculum, the didactic learning, is something that's best done self-paced in small pieces and with extra time for reflection or distraction, right? The nature of early motherhood is that you really can't focus your brain for very long on any one thing. So the online curriculum was really born of the need to pace yourself, take your time, take things in small pieces in order to learn, and then be able to refer back to them when you're actually in the thick of it. So the club membership starts with a pregnancy program called Prenatal Breastfeeding Prep. And a lot of the education you get in pregnancy is very hard to retain because you can't do it, right? You can't have that experiential hands-on learning that really gets us to move from didactic to experiential. And so having the online components throughout lets you go back and refer when you have your own baby, pull up the latching videos and do it together. The other element that I really wanted was, you know, because I broke out in 2013, I've really watched the arc of how women behave on the internet. Mm-hmm. And because we are so information seeking, especially if you come from like academia or, you know, science, is there's got to be an answer to my problem that I can research and solve. And so the online membership site is also designed to limit you to how much information you can see on purpose. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah. Vets understand that. We don't want our clients looking up all this random
Right. Like, let's create a safe place for you to search and search and search and limit you getting into things like, you know, starting solids when we're really just trying to go back to work. And then there's the support community component. The support community is a private Facebook group that is for our community, our members, people who have seen me in person or who've taken the online courses. Philosophically, Balanced Breastfeeding believes in safe, realistic, and kind support. And so the Facebook community I created quite a while back with the specific intention in mind of not being critical or giving unsolicited advice. It is really just a place to be supportive of one another. Mm-hmm. And so the combination of the didactic learning and the community, and then both locally in person and virtually, people have access to me for one-on-one consulting for unique circumstances. We've created this really nice bubble of mothering friends and really making space to talk about those decisions to stop or supplement. And in particular, having subset groups. So there's a subset group for the working pumping moms because nobody can really understand what it's like to be a working pumping mom other than another working pumping mom.
Yeah, the blog alone is kind of immeasurable, and the amount of information that is available for a very reasonable price for the lifetime membership. I can't stress enough how helpful all of the information is. So I hope everyone checks it out if they have any need, i.e. you have a child.
You know, I always felt like breastfeeding, from the way that it was presented to me when I was learning, was just so clinical. You know, all the advice was about promoting the milk supply or making the baby nurse, or it's just not that serious. Like, we call it boobs, and sometimes we talk about the baby being a jerk. And mm-hmm. I try to bring this element of humor and lightheartedness to try to make this feel less clinical and more, you know, relational, that this is about making friends. This is about discovering what our bodies can do. This is about reflecting on our childhoods. Like, it's everything.
Yeah.
So I think you'll also find some peppered humor and curse words throughout my blogs that I use as a way to just be like, dude, we're just talking about breastfeeding here. Like,
yeah,
just trying to make your baby suck your boob.
And realistic. That's one of your big words too. I know it has to be realistic, and you are realistic. I would say in the Northern Delaware, Southeastern Pennsylvania area, you're lovingly referred to as the booby whisperer. But I actually think that does you a disservice because you provide so much more than just assessing someone's boobs. You take into consideration mom, which a lot of lactation consultants don't. Any number of stories I've heard of people dealing with lactation consultants at their hospital, it was just milk, just baby, just and no consideration for mom's mental health and whether that's a good idea. You know, the whole idea for this podcast is to help bring little bits of information so that people can increase joy in their life. So I was curious, what is one small thing that has brought you joy this week?
Oh, well, my peonies, of course. You know, I really try to show the women who I work with my evolution as a mother beyond infancy, right? Mm-hmm. So having one teenage daughter who sometimes graces me with her presence and other times, most of the time is, you know, in her room, has given me a lot of new time and space to reconnect with things that maybe I did before I gave birth to her or I've always wanted to do. And this week I've been documenting the progression of my peonies. I think that the up close noticing of the subtle changes that happen in my peonies, I just think is such a beautiful metaphor for the becoming and the unfolding that women experience throughout the course of their life, and in particular in motherhood. I just want people to see that once again, after the hardest part of life, in my opinion, right, rearing children, having babies and managing a career and having little kids, after all of that, I promise you that there will come a time again when you can go out every day and notice a flower blooming. But then I would also make the argument that you could do that today.
Yeah, and probably should.
And when we talk about boundaries or taking that moment when you leave one client and go to the next client, it's all about intention. Everybody has 30 seconds to 60 seconds to sit and breathe and return to themselves.
Oh, yeah. Taking a mindful moment is my mantra for the year.
Yep.
Trying to.
And it truly is just a moment, and it's stopping, you know, the whole like stop and smell the roses. Like, it truly is stop, breathe, notice something beautiful, be there just for that moment, and then return.
That is Excellent advice. Katie, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you spending some time with me this morning. Where can people find you?
So my website is balancedbreastfeeding.com, but if you want to watch me and follow what I'm doing in my life, you can follow me on Instagram at balancedbreastfeeding, and you'll see the whole breadth of my life, not just mothers and babies, but the whole beautiful soul-stirring adventure that is Katie Madden and Balanced Breastfeeding.
Excellent. And I will definitely link all that and everything we chatted about today.
Thank you.
It was fun. I'm glad we connected.
I'm super excited.
Thanks so much for listening to the episode today, guys. This one is dedicated to all my other DVM moms out there. I am really lucky to have connected with a bunch of other veterinarian moms, and we have each other's backs. But I have a special shout out for two of my biggest supporters, Mary and Misty. I definitely couldn't make it through this daily motherhood journey without you guys. Breastfeeding is certainly not for everyone, but if you do choose to feed your baby in that way, please find a resource like Katie. I really want you to have someone supportive in your corner when you go through that. Check out balancedbreastfeeding.com if you have any further questions or need help with more resources. And if you are searching for a community of mothers yourself and don't have them yet, please reach out. I'm happy to direct you to a few Facebook groups and other resources that I've found to be super helpful. My final wish for you all is that you give yourself some grace today and every day. Next week, we're switching gears to personal finance, so make sure you hit subscribe so you're alerted of every new episode, and I'll talk to you then. Bye!